All right, let's go ahead and get our Bibles out this morning, and let's stand. Get your Bibles out, and let's stand. We're going to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 7, and then we'll begin reading at verse number 51 this morning. Acts, chapter 7, verse number 51. Acts, chapter 7, verse number 51. The Bible says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which shewed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. With God's help this morning, I want to preach on this subject. When the sermon went south. This sermon went south. It got so bad, bless God, they killed the man for preaching it. Brother Russell, would you pray? Yes. Help us.
Lord, I pray that you be with our pastor, Lord. I pray that you give him the physical strength, dear Lord. Pray that you give him the ability, the liberty, dear Lord. Pray that you be with us, dear Lord. Help us just wash away all the cares and the problems and the struggles and the world and the heartaches and the pains. Help us just wash it away, dear Lord, in your blood. And I pray that we could pay attention to the message and get something, dear Lord. And don't let any distractions keep us away from you and your word. And I pray that
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Lord, I pray that you'd have full reign and full power over this service.
Yes.
Lord, most of all, I pray you'd come down here and do something for us.
Yes, Lord.
Today, Lord, in Christ's name I pray.
Amen. 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 You may be seated. First thing I want you to notice this morning is this man by the name of Stephen that's doing the preaching. Now, the Bible tells us, and we find out when we read the Bible, that Stephen is one of the first deacons chosen in the local church that began in Jerusalem. And when you read about Stephen, you see where the Bible describes Stephen as a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. The Bible goes on and says that Stephen was a man who was full of power. Stephen was a good man. The Bible also tells us that some folks fell out with Stephen while he was disputing with them about the things of God. And these men bribed some other men to lie about Stephen and accuse him of blaspheming the temple and the law. What happens is that the elders and scribes go fetch Stephen and give him an opportunity to clear his name. And that's when this sermon begins. Now, this sermon, when you read it in your Bible, what we have recorded here is it runs about 52 verses. And the interesting thing about this sermon is for about the first 49 verses, all the people listen intently and nobody says or does anything. But then the sermon went south. I mean, this sermon took a nosedive, brother. And they are so angered and upset after just 3 verses of material that they stoned Stephen to death. That's what you call an adverse reaction. Now listen, let me ask you something. What in the world did Stephen preach to get that kind of reaction? But I think what we need to do, listen to me this morning, I think what we need to do is before we look at what ruined that sermon for everybody, I think we need to look at what he preached in that sermon that did not bother them. Because the fact is, when you look at this sermon, a great majority of this sermon did not anger or upset nobody. First of all, when you're looking at this sermon, let me tell you what did not bother them. He starts out by giving them a history lesson. They were all about the history lesson. That didn't offend nobody. That didn't stir nobody up. When you go back and you read this sermon that Stephen's preaching here, he begins with Abraham. And he goes through Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and up to Solomon. And he is expounding the history of the Jews to the people. And they like that. You're telling us about our history, about our people. Nobody got upset with that. That was fine. You know, if a preacher comes in and tells you some stories that you're accustomed to about your kind of living and about Alabama folks and redneck living and all that kind of stuff, you'll just giggle and chuckle and just love them to death, won't you?
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Number two thing I see, they were willing to listen to some theology. That didn't upset them. When you read there and start about verses 44 and go to 46, when you're looking at this sermon, Stephen spoke of the tabernacle. And you'll see here in the King James Bible, some of the newer versions have took it out. The word Jesus is used here instead of Joshua in verse number 45, which is exactly what word needed to be used because Joshua is a type of Christ in the Bible. The right word is used. They didn't even mind some theology. You know, some people love that. Some people come to church and all they're concerned about is some kind of new something they've never learned or never, you know, they just want to get a bunch of facts in their head. They got a big old head and a heart empty as, you know, ain't got anything in it, but they got a head full of knowledge. So these folks were sitting they're listening to this sermon. So when he's giving his history lesson about their people, man, we're fine with that. When he's giving them some theology, teaching them something. You know, that's what everybody wants nowadays too. I want to sit up under the teaching ministry. I want to hear some teaching. I want to learn some things. I want to have a fella sitting up there on a stool and just talking to me in a voice like this and me writing down stuff. Now listen to me. You need teaching. You need biblical teaching. You ought to have you behind here at Sunday school and you'd get some of it. Amen. We go through the books of the Bible on Wednesday night, verse by verse. You'd get some of it then too if you'd show up. Amen. It's important, but it does not substitute the man of God getting up in that pulpit every Sunday and telling it like it is.
Amen.
The people didn't mind some theology. Hey, they didn't get upset. They enjoyed hearing about Israel as the underdog when he's preaching through there. And then they enjoyed hearing about Egypt being the dog. They enjoyed that when Stephen's going through there talking about how Egypt had mistreated the Israelites and they were in bondage and all that and how Israel's the underdog and, you know, we like to be the underdog, but we're God's people and we're going to come out on top. Yeah, we'll shout you down, preacher, when you preach on that. And then they didn't get upset when they started talking about Egypt as the dog. Like, yeah, you talk about that worldly bunch. You talk about that crowd out there that ain't saved and you talk about, you know, the bad politicians and the bad world leaders. Amen. Praise God. Come on, Stephen. Preach it up, brother. Nobody got mad about none of that. Listen to me now this morning. They were not even bothered by the negative preaching about others. When he starts in verse number 35, he goes a long way in that sermon and he starts out with our fathers and he's talking about how they disobeyed. They were willing to stomach that preaching as long as he was talking about their fathers, but other people that was doing wrong. Other people that had been going down the wrong way for the Lord and not doing, you know, just not doing right for God. Verse number 51. That's when the sermon took a drastic change. I mean, it went south in a hurry. So let me ask you something this morning. What made this sermon so distasteful, so unappealing that it cost a man his life? I'm going to give you three things about this sermon that made it go south. Because it's things pretty much going south right now. This is a dead crowd right here. Well, let me tell you something. I don't care if I have to buckle down and go through quicksand and you don't like it and it ain't what you wanted to hear this morning. Bless God, I'm going to preach it anyway.
Amen.
Number one, here we go. When the sermon went south, when the preaching became personal, that's when the sermon went south. I want you to notice something. Just these few verses here, when you start verse number 51. When he gets to verse number 51, the whole sermon shifts on him. And the first thing it says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did. So do ye, verse 52. Ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. You know what he did? He said, I'm not preaching to we. Bless God, I'm preaching to you, and I'm saying, you're the one that's wicked as hell. You're the one that's done this ungodliness, and you're the one that needs to get right with God.
Amen.
Amen. That's a good preacher.
Yeah, amen.
That's the way it ought to be preached.
Amen.
I'm sick and tired of this we. Listen, and you should say we sometimes, because we all are children of God, if you're saved. We all sin, and we all mess up, and we all need to do right. And we all need to, you know, do what God have us to do. But every once in a while, you need a preacher to stand up behind that pulpit and point his finger at you and say, bless God, you're the one with the problem.
Amen.
Amen. And you don't have that enough in our churches nowadays.
Amen.
Stephen was no longer preaching about other people's sin. He was preaching on their sins. When he made the personal application instead of a general application, that's when they blew their top. I tell you what, some of you's like, bless God, you don't mind me preaching on everybody else's sin, but you don't want me to preach on yours. You'll amen and shout me down as long as I'm preaching on something you don't have a problem with. But when you have a problem with it, you blow up like a bullfrog and get mad and run out of the church and won't come back and burn up the phone lines and get on Facebook.
Amen.
That's what made them so mad. They didn't mind him talking about other people doing bad things. They didn't mind him saying, now we need to do this and we need to do that and caring and sharing and coping and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
They didn't mind when he was teaching them some theology and giving them a history lesson and talking about how God had took care of the Israelites and that's my people and that's where we're from. Well, they loved all that. But when he turned around and he said, oh, and by the way, I'm preaching to you, you bunch of stinking, uncircumcised in heart, wicked jokers.
Amen.
Amen. That's when the sermon went south, just like it's nosediving right now. It's the very same thing. Let me tell you something this morning. I'm preaching to you. I'm not preaching to the church up the road. I'm hollering at you. I'm rebuking you. I'm instructing you. I'm not preaching to the ones that's not here today. God help them. But they didn't come, so you're here. You're the one that needs. And by the way, you say, well, those so-and-so, they need. Yeah, there's several people that ought to be here to hear this morning. But I can't do nothing about that, and you can't either, but you can do something about yourself.
Amen.
You know, if just this crowd that's here this morning would just get right with God, there ain't no telling what God would do in this church.
Yeah. Amen.
People all, you know, they get mad when the preacher raises his voice. They get mad when the preacher points his finger. They get mad. You know what it is? Because it's getting personal. Listen, let me tell you what's wrong with Christians. Sometime or another, when you hear a message, or sometime or another in your life, when you read, open up this book, you got to make some application in this book to you. You can't be reading your Bible every day and doing your quiet time and saying, well, that's my wife there, and that one goes to my son, and yeah, I bet Brother Dennis needs to read that, and old deacon down there needs to read. Okay, all right, but sometime or another, you're going to get just as fouled up as you can be spiritually if every once in a while you don't open up that book and that Bible's looking at you and you say, that verse is applying to me. I'm the one that needs to get right. That sermon Brother Dennis preached today, it wasn't for the ones that wasn't here. It wasn't for my husband or my wife. He was pointing this chubby finger at me, and I'm the one that needs to get right with God. It ain't nobody else. That's what made them mad. They were fine when we were talking about somebody else and something else that didn't apply to them. But then he turns around and he says, no, big boys, I'm preaching to you.
Yeah.
And the sermon went south.
Amen.
When it got personal. Now here's the thing that disturbs me, Brother Russell. Nobody has a problem with me when I get personal and the message goes to them when it's something that helps them. You know how many testimonies I've had over the years, even in this church? Well, Brother Dennis, he just preached something the other day, and the Lord just spoke to my heart, and I knew he was just preaching to me, and it was such a comfort and such a help, and it just helped me. Oh, I just thank God for speaking to me. Uh-huh. You ever thank God for speaking to you when Brother Dennis rung your bell? Made personal application to you when he rung your bell? Now you're all happy when it's all positive and encouragement and gave me direction and now I know what I need to do and oh, that was great. Well, oh, yeah, when Brother Dennis gets up there and gets on my sin and preaches at me, points his finger at me.
Amen.
Then we blow up like a bullfrog. I wouldn't have a preacher that wouldn't preach to me. I wouldn't have a preacher that was so scared and had so much lace on his drawers that he was scared to say, you! I wouldn't sit up on a preacher 5 minutes that was up there, well, we need to do this. And, you know, we all just got problems and we all just struggle and we all just go through things. And I just tell you, you're just such good people. And I know you do bad every once in a while, but we all do bad. And blah. That ain't how they preached it in that book. The reason some of you are so offended with the way I do things is you don't know two verses of Bible. You've never read your Bible hardly in your life. You don't know how the men in the Bible preached. You don't know how the prophets did. You don't know how Jesus Christ did. You don't know what he said and how he said it because you've never read it. You just don't like the way I say it.
Amen.
Because you have watched too much Joel Osteen. Too many TV preachers. And so when you get in here and a man confronts you and preaches the message of God and tells it like it is and he puts the crosshairs right on your heart, makes you mad, don't it? Well, let's get off that quickly. Number two, I tell you when the sermon went south, again, just like this was going right now, when the preaching pricked their hearts. You know what they said about after he preached? Just, all it took was three verses there. Just three verses. Man got killed over three verses worth of material. Stoned to death over three verses worth of material. You know they do, by the way, before we go to this next point, you do preachers like that.
Amen.
He preaches 40-something verses that was somewhat appealing. They liked it. And then he preaches three verses there. And we don't remember all this other stuff that we enjoyed and was getting a blessing out of. We just want to crucify him because now three verses, he's called us out on our sin. We can't live comfortable in that church in our sin. He has to address our sin. He has to get on to us about our sin. He has to preach against our sin. You mighty right, you keep showing up here. I'm going to preach against your sin.
Amen.
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 That's right. Anyway, when the preaching pricked their hearts, notice verse number 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth, the Bible says. Cut to the heart. By the way, that is exactly what Bible preaching is supposed to do. Real, true, Holy Ghost-filled preachers, I mean, tell it like it is, it's supposed to do something to your heart. Who in the world come up with this thing that we believe in nowadays that every time I go to church, I ought to be lifted up and feel good about myself and leave just all happy about me? That's hogwash. That's not in the Bible. I come to church first and foremost to give God the praise and the glory and honor that he deserves. And second, to get my heart right with God.
Amen.
And you can't have the true peace of God until you've dealt with sin in your life.
Yeah.
And you won't deal with sin in your life if you ain't got a preacher that'll do it.
Amen.
And preach against it. That's what the Bible's supposed to do. And they responded, they're gnashing their teeth. The Bible says they stopped their ears. Like little second and third graders on the playground. Nah, 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 boo, boo. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Stop their ears. You know, we have some 55 and 60 and 70 year old thumb sucking, pacifier sucking Christians. You know that? I didn't like the way that preacher said that. I can't understand that sometimes. People that's made it through Vietnam and people that's made it through the Depression and people that's had to work hard all their life and break their back and go through the most extreme things and be tough and let one little old 45-year-old preacher that don't know nothing make you that mad. You know what? You, there's something wrong with you, man. You're too sensitive. You're too sensitive. You're too sensitive. Amen. You know what they did? When the man started preaching against their sin, they gnashed on them with their teeth and they go, we're not going to listen to that. We're not going to hear that. Ah, some of you don't do that physically in the sermon, but some of you, boy, you done tuned me out. You won't make eye contact in here with me no more. Some of you sleeping. Some of you's looking out the window. Some of you's looking for an escape route. You just want this thing to be over. You hope this is one of those days I choose not to go to the back door. Amen. 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 That's what it is. I've noticed this about people that are under conviction. You ever notice how when people, God starts telling them to get under conviction, they get grouchy and irritable? These people are grouchy and irritable. Listen, instead of responding in humility, listen to me, and at least, here's the very least these people should have done. They should have at the very least entertained the idea that they might be guilty of what the man's saying. They didn't, that it wasn't even in their mind. They just immediately became angry. They hardened their hearts. You know how they responded to this? They responded with pride and defiance rather than humility and submission. They responded with pride and defiance rather than humility and submission. And they never even checked up. They never even said, whoa, 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 just everybody just calm down for a minute. Let's listen to what this man said. Maybe, what this man just said about us is 100% the truth. No. Stop your ears. Gnash your teeth. Drag him out of the city. Everybody pick up a rock. Bounce it off his heads. Beat his brains out. Kill the man. Kill the man. That tells us that we are wicked. You know why that sermon went south? Because he spoke to things that pricked their heart. And there had to be something in them at least that thought, maybe what this man says is true. We're going to act like it ain't. We're going to act like he so upset us because everything he said about us is wrong and we're going to kill him. Rather than saying, God, thank you for sending a man to tell me the truth. Thank you for showing your grace and your mercy so much that you would have a man that would tell it like it is, real straight, real plain, so you can deal with our hearts so we can get it right now and not be in trouble with you when we die. Instead of rushing on a man to kill him. Think about that. The third thing I see about this sermon is when he made it personal and it pricked their hearts, but when the preaching pointed out their sin. Now notice he says this when he's going around there in verse 51 and 52. He calls them stiff-necked. He didn't say your fathers were stiff-necked. He said, this crowd right here that I'm preaching to right now, you're a bunch of stiff-necked people. Right. You know what a stiff-neck is? I got my neck like this, and you ain't going to move me. You ain't going to move my head. You ain't going to make me bow to nobody. That's stiff-necked. Yeah. Then he says this to him. He says, your uncircumcised heart. Your heart hasn't been touched by God. It's uncircumcised. You know, the Jews in that day, to be uncircumcised is to be defiled, part of the world, messed up. Of course, we know that we have a spiritual circumcision of the heart when we get saved. He said, you resist the Holy Ghost. He said, you resist the Holy Ghost. Then he says, you're betrayers. Then he calls them murderers. He's speaking to that bunch. Now listen, when his preacher pointed out their sin, the sermon went south. When Brother Stephen took his finger and pointed them, he said, you stop fornicating.
Yeah.
You stop lying.
Right.
You stop drinking.
Yeah.
You stop blaspheming God and cussing. You stop laying out of church.
Yeah.
You stop your gossiping.
Yeah.
You stop your backbiting. When he got on specific sins to specific people, that's when the sermon went south, brother.
Amen.
It wasn't none of this, we need to quit this and we need to stop this and all of us are guilty. And all of, no, bless God, if you're in here today and you're shacking up, you're a fornicator.
Right.
Now you get mad at me for saying that.
Right.
I'm not the one that's changed, you have.
Yeah. Amen.
If you're drinking and getting drunk, you're a drunkard. I'm not the one that's changed. You have. This Bible's still the same right now as it ever been. Fornicating's still wrong. Being a drunkard is still wrong. Being a liar is still wrong. All that stuff is still wicked. And it don't matter if my child does it or your child does it or your wife or your husband or your grandchildren or your neighbor. They're still wicked.
Amen.
Don't get mad at me for telling the truth. If you're going to get mad at somebody, kick your own self in the behind. Don't run up here gnashing your teeth at me and all mad with me and want to kill me. I get tired of it sometimes. I'm just going to get off my chest some more. I get tired of the way some of you do sometimes. If you're going to live like the devil and you want to live like the devil and you ain't going to control yourself, okay, that's between you and God. But don't fall out with me about it. Don't take the side over your family with your family over me about it.
Yeah.
At least be man enough to say, Brother Dennis is telling the truth. I just ain't got enough character to do anything about it.
That's good.
What I found out is, Brother Russell, as they talk about, Brother Dennis, we're glad we got him for our pastor. You need to come hear him because he'll tell it like it is. Yeah, bless God, you like me to tell it like it is when I ain't telling it like it is to you. When it don't affect you or your family.
Right. Amen.
People are just way too sensitive. They're just way too sensitive.
Yeah.
Get over it.
Amen.
Get over it. Something's wrong with us in this society.
Right.
You get your feelings hurt too easily.
Right.
You're offended too easily.
Because
you're not because you're a good, tender-hearted person. It's because you got pride. We covered that the other Wednesday night.
Amen.
You need to get over it. And whatever problems your preacher's got, and he's got a bunch of them, and whatever mistakes your preacher makes, and he makes a bunch of them, and whatever things you need to pray for him about, and you need to pray for me about a bunch of things, when that preacher gets up there and thunders from the pulpit and turns red in the face and points at you and tells it like it is, don't get mad with the preacher. Get mad with yourself for not living right. Don't get mad with God. Don't get mad with the preacher. If you're going to be mad with anybody or upset with anybody, why don't you be upset with yourself? This is a good example of how people today react to preaching. You know what? Stephen had the right message. And he had the right spirit. And you know that because he's praying for them as they're killing them.
Yeah. Right.
Stephen is praying for the people as they're killing them. He had the right spirit. He had the right message. But he had the wrong response. Now I want to ask you a question this morning. How do you respond when the preaching gets personal? How do you respond to preaching that points out your sin? How do you respond to preaching that pricks your heart? Do you bow up or do you bow down? Do you resist or do you repent? Do you close your ears or do you call upon the Lord? However you react this morning, I just want you to remember this. The truth, listen to me this morning, the truth will still be the truth whether you like it or not. And you will still be held accountable for the truth whether you like it or not. So I'll end this morning by asking a question and then answering it. What makes a sermon go south? You do. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye.